All right, we got most of the guys here, so we'll go ahead and get started. A little early start, a little early finish. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and get started with our chapter time. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Pray that you'll talk to us through thy word, through Brother Ronnie as he presents it. And everything that is done, may it bring honor and glory to your name. Bless this offering and everything that we do. And Lord, I pray that you'll move us in a direction that is closer to you. If there be any unsaved, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody else want a Bible or a song book? Sing along, read along with us.
A song
book. Anybody else want a Bible or a song? All right, page 475. Let's get this thing cranked up. 475.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Sing it now. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. On the last, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Last chance. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Good seeing, fellas. Give the Lord a hand. That's good. Praise the Lord. Take that same blue hymnal and go to page 176. 176. 176. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Good song. 176. 175. 176. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. You sing now. Amen. Let this be your prayer. God, if you got something to say to me tonight, don't pass by tonight without saying something to me.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition. Help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Sing it. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Amen. Same hymnal, page 481. 481. 481. Just a closer walk with thee. 481. Just a closer walk with thee. Let's sing this.
My plea, daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Though this world of toil and snare, falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. My plea, daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Last verse. my feeble life is o'er. Grant it, Jesus, be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let
Man, I'm glad to say that there is nothing in my life or your life that could not be solved with a little closer walk with the Lord Jesus. Amen. He'll help us in every avenue of our lives. Have your Bibles, take them to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number, I believe it's 15. Yes, Luke 15. Last week, we looked at last month, it's been a whole month ago, we looked at this lost and found of the Bible. Do you remember how that we looked at the lost sheep? How that there were 100 sheep in the fold and one lamb was lost, and Jesus went to look, or the shepherd went to look for that one lost sheep. Well, I want to continue with this theme of being lost in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to pick up reading at verse number 8. Luke 15 and verse number 8. And I want us to not look at the lost sheep this tonight. I want us to look at the lost coin. The lost coin. Jesus in this chapter gives three beautiful parables about what lost people mean to God. Is it described the Pharisees had a bad view of the lost, the publicans and sinners, the ones that were outcasts, the prostitutes, the harlots, the drug addicted, we might say, on the outer fringe. But here in this parable, Jesus tells them God's viewpoint of such people. In the first parable, we saw that God views them as lost sheep. And how? You remember, I had my own little corner. I had my own little barnyard over here. We had the animals over here baying and neighing like sheep. We had God looks for lost sheep. Those that are lost. Those that are outside the fold. But then here we see he looks for lost coins as well. Luke 15 and verse number 8. Here Jesus goes on with another parable to prove his point. He goes on to say, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, or the same, Jesus is making a comparison. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You know, I don't think there's anything more frustrating than losing something small. You ever lost something tiny? Something small. I've spent many an evening on my face down by the carpet looking for some lost back of an earring, some little precious screw from my computer that I've got to have. I can't go out and buy that kind of screw. I've got to find it. I remember one time, Carrie, my wife, she lost a diamond. She's got a diamond ring, and then she has another little ring on the outside that has little bitty tiny diamonds that goes around the main ones. Well, she lost one of those little bitty tiny diamonds. And she was distraught.
she came to remind me, I've lost my diamond. It come out of the sanding. We've got to find it. So I'm down in the bedroom with a magnifying glass, looking at all the bread and bargain, trying to find a diamond. She's looking in the living room, feeling around, trying to find a little diamond. Every little piece of glitter looks like that diamond. Every little piece of something, little shiver of metal looks like a diamond. We're just about giving up hope until one day, Carrie, my wife, is getting out of the car. She opened the car door, and it just so happened that a ray of sunlight hit the floor mat right below her and caught the glint of a tiny little diamond in her floorboard. We found that little diamond thing and had it set back in her ring. But it just goes to show that losing something small and valuable can be frustrating. And here we see in this parable that God compares losing something small and valuable to losing a lost sinner, to there being a lost individual. Remember now, Jesus is breaking down the barriers. He's changing the thought process of the scribes and Pharisees. They said the publicans and the sinners, the wine bibbers and the prostitutes, all of the lower rank of society, you shouldn't hang around with them, Jesus. Why do you invite them to your dinners? Why do you let them come to your meetings for teaching? They thought they should be exiled and put on the outside. And Jesus is teaching here, no, you've got it wrong. You see them as not valuable at all, not worth anything. But God sees them as extremely valuable. One thing that you'll notice with these parables is who is in focus. Remember I told you there are three parables. The last parable in this chapter is the most famous parable of all. The parable of the prodigal son. We're going to look at that next month. But in the parables that are given, in the first one, what was it about? It was about the sheep being lost. And the shepherd going to find the sheep. Who said that they were the great shepherd, the good shepherd? Why, it's Jesus. Jesus is pictured in the first parable. In the last parable, you know the parable of the prodigal son. It's one of the most famous that are known today. The parable of the prodigal son. It is a picture of the father. Remember how the father comes running to receive the son who's gone to a far country? And so it pictures the father. Here in this parable, I think it's safe to say that what is being pictured here is the Holy Spirit of God. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If the first parable is about the Son and shows His character, and the last parable is a picture of the Father's character, should not we be able to say that the middle parable gives us the characteristics of the Holy Spirit? I know we're not going to get into a big doctrinal fuss and setting here tonight, and I'm not going to do a dissertation on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But I do want you to understand that when Jesus came to this earth, He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. He was raised from the grave. And then He ascended to the Father with a promise. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter unto you. And He did that in the person of the Holy Spirit. The one that is actively working in this world right now is not the physical body of Jesus. He's located in heaven at the right hand of the Father. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that there is an unseen presence in this room? I'm not trying to get spooky. But there is someone else besides me tonight working. It is His Holy Spirit. And what we can understand from this parable is that that Holy Spirit works in very much the same way that this woman does. You see, we see in this parable that God gives us the picture of His heart for the lost sinner and His objective of the Holy Spirit in seeking out the sinner. Yes, there's an unseen presence among us. Yes, there's one working besides me tonight. And do you know what His work is? It's on your heart. It's on my heart. Holy Spirit's working in my heart tonight. He's working in the hearts of all the people. He's knocking on the door. He's whispering into the ear arguments and thoughts and pleadings and taking the word of God and whispering it into your heart. He is working tonight. I want us to see in this parable how the Holy Spirit was working tonight. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, we must realize the missing silver. I mean, that's what Jesus' objective is, right? If we're going to understand what God's doing in this parable, we understand what the object that it's searching for is, the missing silver. Now, it's critically important to see this parable through the eyes of them that heard it. It really doesn't matter how we see it today, how we might look at this parable. What matters most is what they heard, how they saw this parable. That's what Jesus meant when he shared it. So I want you to understand, first of all, the woman's concern. Our text says that in verse number 8, either one woman having how many pieces?
10
pieces of silver, and she lost one of them. Do you remember the previous parable a month ago? I came in and I preached about the lost sheep, right? How many sheep were there?
100.
And he lost how many?
One.
Now, I mean, like I said, in that message, yeah, we can kind of cut our losses. I mean, it's one out of 100. The parable is not about the value of the sheep. It's about the love of the shepherd, right? It's not about one. We can cut our losses. We got 99. Why would we use those and go get one? It's about the love of the shepherd. But here, it is not one out of 100. It's one out of 10. Hey, the value's just gone up, hasn't it? It's not as great. It's greater than what it was. 1 out of 10, that's 10%. She only has 90%, whereas before he had 99%. Hey, what about the last parable? Remember the prodigal son? How many sons did he have?
Two.
Now, he loses one. That's 50%. What he's showing us is the ever-increasing value that God places on lost sinners. God places great value on those that are far from him. Now, this woman, she's lost one silver. It's a drachma. Now, we could say that she's still got 9 left, and that's quite a bit. She's only lost one of them. But the value changes when you realize that one silver coin, one drachma, is an entire day's wage. I don't know what it would be for the average person working a full day to lose an entire day of wage. I tell you what, there's been some times in my schedule where I've gotten behind at work and I need to put in extra hours because I couldn't afford it. You can't afford to just take 32 hours and pay the bills. No. I've got to have 40 hours to make my bills. I got to work all those hours. I can't miss a day of work. I can't be sick, just lay out and say, well, I've got enough money. I can deal with 32, not instead of 40. I mean, could you lose a whole day's wage? I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of effort. That's a lot of money to lose. So from that, we can see something of the value of this coin. One coin is an entire day's wage. A full 8 to 12 hours of wage. This is a financial disaster. God sees a lost sinner not coming to him as a disaster, as something of great value that is lost. Also, this coin has a special meaning. It talks about a woman losing coin. Why would Jesus focus on a woman? Well, there was a tradition that took place in that culture. Anytime a woman was married to another, a dowry was required. That is a payment from the father to the groom to take the daughter. Kind of tells you something right there. Take the daughter. No. But it is a dowry. You know, like in our weddings of our day, usually the dowry comes in the fact that the father pays for what? The reception. The reception, the caterer, the hungry punch, and all the little goodies and all the food. That's like a dowry. Well, the dowry, most times in this culture, would have been those 10 coins. The father would have given 10 days' wages to the groom. Now, the groom wouldn't say, "Woohoo, let's go play video games. Let's pop them in there." He wouldn't do that. What he would do is take those 10 coins, he would place holes in them, and he would take chain or strands of string and make a beautiful headdress for his wife to wear. It's like a wedding ring. Right now, my wife is panicking. She can't find her wedding ring. Like, I laid it on the table. It may be my fault. I may be living in the doghouse tonight over this whole thing. But it's like a wedding ring. He would give her this, which she might wear it on her head. Can you imagine these little silver coins catching the light all around her face or around her neck? It would be a decoration. It would be something like a wedding ring. Something valuable. Something treasured. Its value goes beyond its monetary worth. It's not just worth 10 days' wages. It's pricelessly meaningful. I remember years ago, me and my wife moved, and we took all of our stuff and put it in one of those storage facilities, right? And I, like a dummy, took her jewelry box and put it in the storage shed, thinking, it's got a lock on it. Nobody, this is Trenton, my hometown. Nobody steals stuff in my hometown. Sure enough. 2 days later, we get the call. Somebody broke into your storage shed and they took all the jewelry. Now, add it all up, give it to the insurance company. It's not all that much. We didn't have the Hope Diamond or anything like that in there. The problem is a lot of that jewelry was Carrie's grandmother's. It was the pearls that she wore around her neck, her grandmother. It was the promise ring that her father gave her when she was 13. It was my class ring. Something very precious to me. And I can go buy another one. I can get another class ring made, but it's just not the same. Here, I want you to see the value. The value in these coins is not only their monetary value, but their sentimental value. This was a wedding ring. This was a representation of something very, very special. Also, in that day and time, culture tells us and of the time that if a woman, a wife, were unfaithful to her husband, then the husband had the right to take one of those coins and pluck it from her headdress. So when she went to the well and saw the other ladies, everybody saw she had been unfaithful. She had sinned against her husband. I mean, it would be like going around with a busted, broken tooth. I mean, every time you smile, everybody knows it. You're missing a tooth. Everybody sees it. Here, it would have been a false. It would have been something false. She just lost the coin. She wasn't unfaithful. But it was a misrepresentation of who she was. Here's the thing. God sees lost sinners the same way. You're missing. You're not where you should be. And you're a misrepresentation of who He is when you have a lost coin. What is Jesus telling us? He is telling us how precious lost sinners are. If you're here today and you have never, you play church. Don't tell me. I know how people play church. I've been a pastor for 10 years. I pastor up teenagers. I know everybody knows how to play church. Everybody knows how to sit straight. Everybody knows when to shake the head and this and that. But listen to me. I want you to understand something. That God values you as precious, as something that cannot be replaced, as something that is highly valuable. You know, human life is not valuable in the day and time in which we live. You know that, right? We live in a world today where lives are not viewed as precious. Sex trafficking of children is at an all-time high. Millions of babies are aborted in what is from what is supposed to be the most safest place in the world, a mother's womb, and yet now it's the most dangerous place in the world to live. Babies, euthanasia is on the rise and being legalized all the time. California, Oregon, they're legalizing euthanasia. If you don't cut the mustard, if you don't think right, if you're a little too old, you're a little too slow, you're a little too needy, you're gone. Human life doesn't matter in our culture. Oh, but to God, every rejecting lost sinner is valuable. Oh, the love of God is reflected here. The pricelessness of a lost sinner. We see the heart of God in every lost sinner. We see the importance of lost sinners to God. The concern of this woman over the silver is like the concern of God the Holy Spirit over the sinner. The woman's concern. Then the worth of the coin. The worth of the coin. What's interesting is these coins, these drachmas, they'd be about this big, about the size of a dime. I thought I brought a dime. Yeah, I brought a dime. Size of a dime. Little drachma. About that big. On one side of it, just like we have on a dime today, is an image of an individual. Whether it was the Roman ruler, whether it was Caesar, whatever, it had some kind of Latin phrase on it, have his image on it. And this coin is supposed to be used as currency. It's supposed to be in circulation. It has the image of the king on it. And it's supposed to be used in everyday business in that kingdom. The worth and its purpose are wrapped up in whose image is on the coin. You can take a piece of silver and bang it out and circle it and cut it out, and it wouldn't be the worth of this right here. Why? Because it's got the image on it. It's the genuine article. It has the president's or it has the king's image on it. It's intended for a purpose. Listen to me. Every person on this planet has the image of God struck on their soul. God said in the very beginning that in His image He made man. Like it or not, you can roll your eyes or whatever. You can say, every one of you are created for the purpose of God's glory. Every person, lost or saved, are created for God's glory. But this coin is lost. It's gone. It's out of circulation. It's not serving a purpose. It's missing on the purpose that it was intended to be. This is the way God views sinners as well. If you're here this evening and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God not only values you and loves you and is seeking actively for you, but you are missing the purpose for which you were created. To glorify God, to know Him, to enjoy Him forever. You're missing out on the purpose for which God created you. The lost sinner, they are all gone out of the way, Romans 3:12 says. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Teen suicide is ramping up. I've gone to church members whose teenage sons have blown their brains out because they don't have a purpose in life. They don't see the need of life. They're missing their purpose, the stamp of God on their life, because they're missing Jesus Christ. They don't know Him as Lord and Savior. The American artist, James Whistler. James Whistler was a pretty arrogant artist. It was funny. It's a great story. Whistler had ordered a bulk shipment of blank canvases. He's a painter. You ever seen Whistler's Mother? You know the painting Whistler's Mother? It's got this old woman sitting in a rocking chair in front of a window. Yeah, Whistler's Mother. You ever seen Whistler's Mother? She's got a bonnet on her head.
Yeah.
Please tell me you know what Whistler's Mother is, all right? Whistler's Mother, beautiful American painter, great artist. Well, this shipment of canvases had gotten stolen. And the police, the authorities came to Whistler and said, James Whistler, and said, were these canvases valuable?
And Whistler said, well, not yet. Because he'd never put anything on. They were only valuable when he put something on. Same is true with the coin. The same is true with the lost sinner. Your value is measured in God's usefulness for the purpose for which you were created. God has a purpose. I don't like that phrase, God has a wonderful plan for your life, because Paul didn't have a wonderful plan for his. He got shipwrecked, stoned, beat up, whipped. But I do want you to know this, God does have a purpose for you. He put his image on you. Lost sinner, you have a purpose. Second of all, not only the missing silver, but now I want you to see the meaningful search. Can you see this woman? She's doing housework and she bends down over over like a bucket of water she just pulled from the well. And she realizes, oh, one of my coins is gone. It was there just a few hours ago when I was in the house polishing the mirror, and now it is gone. And all of a sudden, she breaks into activity like what my wife's doing right now. She's tearing apart the kitchen. She's going to the kids' room. She's looking everywhere she can to try to find that silver coin. Notice, when she does this search, there's a few things I want you to notice. Number one, I want you to see that it was a demanding search. Look at verse number 8. It said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, notice this, doth not light a candle and sweep the house. What does that tell you? Tells you two things about the location of where this coin is. It is dark and it is dirty. Much of the huts and hovels that were built in that time were made of mud with dirt floors. Needless to say, it is a filthy place. If the windows, they would not have had many windows. Windows are actually a weakness in a building. So it wouldn't have had many windows. Very little light, it'd be dark. And it would be dusty and dirty in that place. Listen, this is a representation of the filth of the lost sinner. I know, I told you that God values you. I values you, but you need to know where you are. Outside of Jesus Christ, lost and on your way to hell, this is the condition, in darkness and in dirtiness. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and middle of darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. If a sinner could be reduced to a coin, that coin would always roll to the darkest point of the house. To the dingiest place in the house. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them the lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Oh, the darkness of a lost sinner, the darkness they face without Jesus Christ, to live empty, purposeless lives, to go out into the grave, perhaps in death. Oh, how dark the sorrow and shame is, the guilt that is carried with no hope of forgiveness. Also, houses that day were primarily constructed of clay, making the floor incredibly dirty. For that coin to be lost, it meant for it to be lost down in the dirt. Filth. Dust. It's to be lost, and any sinner that is lost in the dirt of sin. Job 15:6 says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. How dirty and filthy man can become. From the cesspool of corrupt depravity in their life to the sinfulness of sexual depravity, there seems to be no end to which man will seek in order to fulfill his depraved lust. Profanity is commonplace. Pornography is plastered everywhere. Promiscuity is pervasive. Pedophilia is ever growing. And on and on and on. The dirt and filth of sin. The Bible says that these days are like the days of Noah, in which the imagination of their hearts are on evil continually. And yet, where do we see this woman going? Into the dirt and into the darkness. Man, I like that. You may be here and you say, Brother Ronnie, you're right. I'd never admit it. I'd never stand up and testify what I've been in, what I'm doing, how I'm living. You're right. I am dirty and I am in darkness, but I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit is seeking you. Down in the dirt. Down in the darkness. Down in the corners, hidden away. He's seeking for you diligently. Notice, not only a demanding search, but a diligent search. The woman pulls out all the stops. You know, there's not much natural light in there. So what does she do? She brings out a candle. It says in verse number 8, she doth not light, does she not light a candle? She brings a light into the situation. She brings light so she can see. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. He brings illumination. He brings understanding. He takes the light of God's Word and points us to Jesus Christ. You see, I may not be holding a candle burning in the wind, but God's light is in this room. His Holy Spirit is illuminating hearts. He's shining into your heart. He's shining into all of our hearts tonight. He's searching the depths of our understanding. He brings the light of God's Word. You and I are to be a light. If you're here and you're saved, by God's grace, you need to be a light. A light in a darkened world. Notice she gets out the broom. What does she say in verse number 8? And sweep the house. Man, spring cleaning always gets to me because that dust gets up my nose and I start sneaking and sneezing and snotting and I just get miserable. My eyes get full of dust and dirt. Spring cleaning. You know what brooms do? Brooms stir stuff up. Can you see her? Got that broom out. Filling the house with dust. Holy Spirit does the same thing. He stirs stuff up. That's how he got to me. He stirred stuff up in my life. Started stirring my relationships up. Started stirring my conscience up. He started bothering me. I started laying awake at night wondering about God. Wondering about being right with God. Wondering about what God's doing. He brings difficult times in. Hey, you may be here because you know what? Holy Spirit of God. Sweeping stuff up, stirring it up in your life. Sometimes God's got to stir us up to wake us up. Sometimes He's got to make a mess for us to realize we're in a mess. Is the Holy Spirit stirring something up in your life? What an amazing intersection. I do a podcast where I talk about stories. There's a story today that I released about this guy in a South American jungle. He starts thinking about God. He has a radio. He starts thinking about life. He has a radio. Over the radio, they read a verse where it says, "And the moon shall be darkened and the Son of Man shall come." That very night, there was a lunar eclipse in the sky. All of a sudden, this young man gets scared to death. He's thinking, man, that word is true. God's word is true. He gets word that his grandpa is sick back at his home village. He takes a 3-day journey, hikes it over the mountains to get back to his hometown. 6 months earlier, God calls a missionary out of Minnesota down to South America where they're going through language school, praying about where to go. They go to, guess what? Near where that man's tribe was. And on the very next day, after the young man makes it to the village, the missionary arrives with God's word, shares the gospel with him, and gets saved. Check this out. 3 years earlier, God laid on somebody's heart to say, I want to broadcast the gospel all over South and Central America on a radio station. He builds a radio station in the Caribbean, and by August of 1964, I think it was, he was in full-time airing Christian gospel program. July or June is when that young man heard that radio broadcast. They estimate that it was one of the first test broadcasts that was ever given over the airwaves. Do you think God cares enough to reach down and bring the gospel to an out-of-the-way South American native pagan to share the gospel? Think about all the strands that's brought us here together tonight. I don't know you from Adam. Some of your faces I've never seen before. And yet here we are. God's sweeping stuff. He's something up in your life.
That's what we see here. Holy Spirit stirring something up, doing and instigating work in your life, pointing you to Jesus. Notice lastly, a marvelous celebration. Verse number 9. When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that I have lost." The story is so sweetly simple. She lost the coin. She looks everywhere. She finds the coin that was lost. And she celebrates. I found it. I hope my wife is going, "Woohoo! I found my wedding ring tonight." She celebrates. She rejoices over the situation. Jesus is making the comparison. Then listen, tonight, if you'll come to Jesus Christ and own Him as Lord and Savior, heaven will rejoice over you. Yeah, there's some Pharisees and scribes in local churches. When I come back to report and say what happened, they'll say, "Oh, one? One sinner? One convert?" And they'll not realize that in heaven it was fruit basket turnover for an hour and a half because somebody in this room put their faith and trust in Jesus. That's how God values lost sinners. He celebrates over them. Notice, first of all, I want you to see the rejoicing at home. Notice in verse number 9, it says she had found and called her friends and neighbors together. Now, this is interesting. The word construction indicates feminine terms here. She called all her lady friends, all the gossip group and the quilters, you know, the neighborhood ladies. Now, in the first parable, who celebrated? It was the guys. You know how guys celebrate. Whoa, yeah. I ain't gonna bump chest with you. Yeah, bump chest, you know. Whoa. Yeah, I found my lost lamb. How do girls celebrate? They're giddy. They laugh and rejoice over something that has been found. These ladies celebrate together. They lock arms. They jump up and down and squeal with delight. Those Pharisees and scribes in them local churches that may talk down and say, "Only one? Only you got only one got permission to come to Jesus?" They ought to be turning pews over and dancing on top of them saying, "God found the coin. God found one that He's got a purpose for." That's the reaction. That's the reaction of our leadership here at the mission. That's the reaction should be of every church in town. I'm going to tell you one boy. You're looking at one old boy right here, and would make nobody more happy for you to come to faith in Jesus Christ right now. Right tonight. Notice also we see not only rejoicing at home, but rejoicing in heaven. Look at verse number 10. Likewise, in the parable. Alright? Think about it. In the parable. You're not a sheep. You're not a coin. You're a person, right? You didn't fall into this mission. You know? I'm not taking a broom and sweeping around trying to find you. Jesus is making a comparison. He says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Likewise, the same way those ladies celebrate over finding the coin is the same way heaven celebrates. I've been a pastor a long time, and there's nothing like a teenage girl come in and she's got a ring. Look, God, He proposed, and there'll be this blast of giggles and everybody come look at her ring. She got a ring. She got engaged. Likewise. The way these women celebrated over finding this coin is the way they celebrated in heaven. You'll never believe what happened in the mission tonight. Stolen soul, they came and they put their faith and trust in Jesus. They trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Ah, what joy in heaven. And notice it says, in the presence of the angels. Did you read that right? Like I was saying to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who's doing the rejoicing? It's God Himself. The great God of heaven, the one that made you, that created you. He's not austere sitting up there saying, I knew they'd come eventually. He gets down right happy. Woo-hoo-hoo! Another one has been found. I found the one that I'd lost. I remember years ago, I'm almost done. All you guys ain't paying attention to me. We're just around. Hang on just a minute. A couple years ago, there was a TV show, one of my favorite TV shows. They had to kill it. They had to cancel the show on the air. But I loved it. It's called The Finder. How many of you remember The Finder? You remember The Finder? Oh, man, that's one of my favorite shows. The Finder was this guy that had this uncanny ability to find anything that someone had lost. Listen, there was one episode, my favorite episode, is when he found a .22-sized bullet in a tree in a Louisiana swamp. And he found it. Shot 20 years ago to prove some guy's innocence. He found a bullet in a swamp. Amazing. I love the show. In the show, he always had a phrase that he used. When he took on a new client, this is what he'd say. He said, "I'll find it or I'll die trying." Mm-hmm. Hear that, boys? Mm-hmm. I'll find it. Or I'll die. It'd drive him nuts until he found it. Some 2,000 years ago, listen to me. Some 2,000 years ago, God robed himself in human flesh and came to live on this earth. And he did die to find you. He's searching for you. He died to find you. He gave his life's blood on Calvary's cross to forgive all of the dirt and the filth and the darkness of sin. He died for you in your place on that cross. He gave his life's blood. Come to him. If you're here lost tonight, I knew when I was lost, man. I knew when I was lost, and I knew what I'm saying. If you're lost tonight, God the Holy Spirit is looking for you and he's stirring stuff up tonight. I've looked at you guys' eyes for now about 45 minutes, trying to plant my eyes on every single one of you. And I know God's working in your heart. He's stirring stuff up. Put your trust in Jesus. Jesus is a life changer. He changed me. 21-year-old college student. He changed my life forever. He made me a new creature. I ain't the same person. No, when I got saved, I ain't who I am now. And I ain't got it all together. I'll tell you right now. I'm not the same person. I have his stamp. I'm fulfilling his purpose. There's not a bit. Listen. I have more fun asleep than most people have awake. Life is good in God's purpose. Life is good in God's light, in God's forgiveness, redemption, and cleansing. Come know him. You're not a coin. I'm not going to flip you over and bring you up here and dust you off and put you on a shelf. You're not a coin. You're a human being that needs to repent. You need to change direction. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Come and know him in saving faith. Here's one gentleman. He's coming to know Christ. What about you? Come know Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. I pray for this brother here. I pray right now, God, that he call upon the Lord. God, that he put his faith and trust in you. God, you're searching for this young man. There's others in this room you're searching for. You're sweeping things. You're stirring things up. Oh, God, save their souls. Let them believe on you this hour. God, we pray for this young man that he's believing on you right now. He's putting his faith and trust in Jesus. He's turning his life over to you. God, save him. God, forgive him of his sin. God, save others. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come to know the Lord. Would you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? What's your name? Dedrick just put his faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, they're all set and clap. Hey! In heaven, they're jumping pews.
What if they got pews in heaven?
They're jumping. They're stomping down acres of glorified corn. Praise the Lord. You follow Jesus. You follow him. Amen. Others, you come. Know Christ today. Chaplain, you come.